The following message is presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Now the message.
It's quite a day. We'll keep going. So what's going on in Hebrews chapter 11 is the writer is trying to say to these people, he's saying to them that you may have it bad, you may have difficult times happening to you, but it's about a longer, bigger picture. And I want you to look back at all these people of great faith in the past that have endured things like you're enduring and much harder. So they have, we could probably do without that. Don't worry about the wireless. It's going to work. We're good. And he begins to explain what we know in this, in the Bible as the Hall of Faith. The Hall of Faith. He gives out all these names of people and he's explaining to them things that they went through and things that they endured and how they still had faith in the most difficult times. So I want to start back where we did, preached about last week as we start this message in verse 1. Yes, verse 1. Chapter 11, verse 1. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance about what we do not see. This is what the ancients were commended for. He's about to lay out these ancients. By faith, we understand that the universe was formed at God's command so that what is seen was not made out of what was visible. By faith, Abel brought to God a better offering than Cain did. By faith, he was commended as righteous when God spoke well of his offerings, and by faith Abel speaks even though he is dead. We talked about all that last week. Yeah, that definition of faith, that it is hope in God and what is to come. But I want us to move on down to verse 7. And what we're going to see is a series of things that is being taught by the about the people of faith where they trusted God when it didn't make sense. They couldn't rationalize, they couldn't reason, they couldn't fully understand what God was telling them to do, but yet they knew they could trust Him, and because they trusted Him, they could step out in faith and do what they needed to do. Now, all the way here, I thought about one thing. I thought about this passage before I got here, by the way, but I thought about this all the way here, about the westward expansion of basically European people coming across America, started in 1607 in Jamestown, and it moved west to 1890. That's how this what happened during this period of time. This region was an important part of that. We know there was westward expansion into Texas that came through here. I've even been told that you had to stop off in Zwali before you crossed into Texas. Is that true? Anybody know if that's true or not? I got it right back there. That's testimony because you probably remember. All right, so we got that. We had you had to come through here. You stopped off in Zwali, and you were given permission to cross over into Texas and to go westward. And people were drawn to this for a lot of reasons. Now, these are the reasons that I remember and I think about and I probably identify with. The folks were going west to find freedom. They were trying to get free from whatever they were in before. They were locked up financially. They couldn't take care of themselves. They wanted to move westward to find opportunity. There was land being offered, and people wanted to go get part of the land and get a homestead. And there was a religious freedom where they could move west and be able to be more free in their religion. So all these things were going on. Some were running. By the way, some were running from whatever was behind them, but they were going into the unknown. Now, about 35 miles east of here, there's a place I used to hunt. And there's a road going into that place. It's a dirt road, a two-track road all the way back to the lease. And you go back three-fourths down that road, and there's a mud pit. And the mud pit is there in a drought. It's always there. It's about 40 yards long and about 18 inches deep. And you can't get across that. unless you have a certain kind of car or a certain kind of truck. Now, when I think of the kind of roads that these people were going on to go west, to go settle this part of the country, I think of that road to deer camp. There was all kinds of things. It wasn't easy to pass through. There were mountains. There were rivers. There was no McDonald's. Worse than that, no Chick-fil-A. There was nothing you could go west, and you couldn't plan your stop at Bucky's. There's nothing you could do as you went west to plan ahead. You just knew that there was a road that you were going down. And it took an extreme amount of desperation and hope and faith to move westward. There was also this belief, the manifest destiny belief, that it was God's destiny to populate North America with European folks. But that was all going on in that time. Now, you look back at that, you can get just a little bit of a glimpse of how these people acted in the Old Testament, acted in faith, and God told them to do things, and it was outside of their understanding. But they knew they could trust Him. He had proved Himself to be true and real in their life. Now, you know that yourself today. You know that God has worked in your life, and He's worked in small ways, and He's worked in big ways. And if He asks you to do some great big thing because of what you have seen, you can trust Him. You can step out and follow God and do what He has asked you to do. Because of those things in the past, you have faith and you have hope in what God is doing, what His plan is for your life. So now let's go to verse 7. Verse 7. By faith, Noah, when warned about the things he had not yet seen, in holy fear built an ark to save his family. By his faith, he condemned the world and became heir of righteousness that is in keeping with faith. Now, what kind of boat did he build? He built a boat that looks like a cedar trunk. It wasn't some fancy long, skinny boat that a speed boat he could go somewhere in. It was a great big box that he could load up everything in, his family in, the animals in, so that he could endure the rain that was coming. And it didn't make sense. The fact the world was going to be flooded did not make sense. He didn't understand that. But he knew that was going to happen because God told him it was going to happen. God told him it was going to happen. So he trusted Him. Verse 8, by faith Abraham, when called to go to a place he would later receive as inheritance, obeyed and went, even though he did not know where he was going. He didn't know where he's going. He was just going. He's going to trust and trust in God. Verse 9, by faith he made his home in the promised land like a stranger in a foreign country. He lived in tents, as did Isaac and Jacob, who were heirs with him in the same promise. Abraham just lived following God. He lived following God his whole life. Verse 10, for he was looking forward to the city with foundations whose architect and builder is God. Now that's where we could end if we wanted to end today. If the microphone quit again, we could end right here. He was looking forward to a city that was based on the Father. Not something of humanity, not something that's worldly, not something that is temporary, but he was looking for God's plan, place for him to be. I look forward to that city with the foundations that God has built. Verse 11, here's another improbable thing that happened. And by faith, even Sarah, who was past childbearing age, was enabled to bear children because she considered him faithful who had made the promise. And so from this one man, as he is good as dead, came descendants as numerous as the stars in the sky and as countless as the sand on the seashore. Sarah had faith. It was an impossible thing she was facing. But she knew that she could trust the God of impossible things. You can trust the God of impossible things. You may be facing something that's bigger than you could ever imagine. You know, we could talk about health things from now until Jesus returns, because we all face them, and we all know people who face very difficult health situations where we are living and operating and doing things in a normal manner, then suddenly we get a diagnosis, and that diagnosis causes us to see that there's something dreadful on the horizon. By faith, we have to trust Him to walk through that. So I want to encourage you, if you get anything out of this passage today, when you face that mountain, you need to only trust in God. You cannot trust in what people say to you on cards and in Facebook messages. I mean, it's nice to hear good things. I have one of my students from back at Florida State, when I was there, is a young man, young pastor. I probably shared it with you. About a month ago, he found out he had a brain tumor, an aggressive brain tumor. Every post he posts, almost every day, is just like it's coming out of this chapter. It's faith. He's trusting God while he's facing the mountain. He knows that it looks bad. It looks bad. But he's trusting God and he's hoping for this city that was built by God. Now here's the second kind of people we see in this faith, this hall of faith folks, is that people where faith perseveres when their eyes are focused on the eternal. Look at verse 13. All these people were still living by faith when they died. They had not seen it yet. They had not got there yet. There's a little bit of section of this history I talked to you about before, where it was the settlement of the Oregon Trail for about 30 years. And in that time, they would leave out of Independence, Missouri, and they would travel west and try to go to get to Oregon. And the records state that there were about 400,000 people that took that trail in that short amount of time. And they faced all kinds of pestilence and attack and accidents and everything. About 1 out of 10 of them died. 1 out of 10 of them went that direction and didn't make it. And what you're seeing in the Old Testament are people that knew they could trust God. They were walking step by step through life, and they were hoping for, wanting for, longing for what God had planned for them in life. And that was that eternal life with Him. And they did not see it until the day they died. Now that's going to happen probably to most of us. I don't know if you've thought about when the rapture is going to happen. We had that prediction a couple of weeks ago. It was supposed to happen, and y'all missed it. Didn't happen. But it could happen. It could happen in our lifetime. I know so many saints, people that trusted God faithfully, that have passed away that didn't see the rapture. Hadn't happened. Not going to change the way I believe. Not going to change the way I live. Not going to change the way I hope. Just because it's not happened yet. I was born, and most of you were born, or young at the time, about the time the Jesus movement started. Jesus movement was a great big sweeping revival across the country, and people were being saved, and all kinds of just great and unbelievable things were happening. The movement of God was happening. And then that river became a trickle. There wasn't great big mass numbers of folks being saved for many, many years, about 50 years. And now we're standing at the front of, in the middle of, what looks like that kind of awakening that's happening right now. That people are getting saved all over the country. People are are turning to Jesus when we think they wouldn't. We think they're not going to, but they do. They're turning to the Lord. And there's a revival happening in our lifetime. So what you're seeing is something that we hope for, something that we long for, and we're getting to see it. God work in a big way. Verse 15. If they had been thinking of the country they had left, they would have had the opportunity to return. Instead, they were longing for a better country, a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for He has prepared that city for them. This third section, I want you to look at this. People who had faith that endured suffering and refused to compromise. Go down to verse 23. By faith, Moses' parents hid him for 3 months after he was born because they saw he was no ordinary child and they were not afraid of the king's edict. By faith, Moses, when he had grown up, refused to be known as the son of Pharaoh's daughter. He chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. What a temptation it is to live in this world and try to dabble with one hand holding on to church and the other hand hanging on to sin. That's the plague of the church. The people that are living as if they say they want to follow God with great faith, but they just cannot let go of the sins of the world. But these people let go. Moses let go of the sins of the world. Verse 26, he regarded disgrace for the sake of Christ as of greater value than the treasures of Egypt, because he was looking ahead for his reward. By faith he left Egypt, not fearing the king's anger. He persevered because he saw him who was invisible. By faith he kept the Passover and the application of the blood so that the destroyer of the firstborn would not touch the firstborn of Israel. So we have Moses living in a compromised world, choosing to be set apart and live for God. Last group, those that are rewarded with glory in Christ. Go to verse 29. By faith, the people passed through the Red Sea as on dry land, but when the Egyptians tried to do so, they were drowned. Now, this passage, if you think about the Red Sea rather than, you know, I know back in the 80s, people used to talk about and preach about the Reed Sea. It's a pretty good chance that's the sea they're talking about in this passage. The Reed Sea, a shallow sea. It was a miracle that they crossed this bog on dry land, and then that God drowned those Egyptians in that shallow water. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell after the army had marched around them for 7 days. By faith the prostitute Rahab, because she welcomed the spies, was not killed with those who were disobedient. And what more shall I say? I do not have time to tell you about Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah and about David and Samuel and the prophets who through faith conquered kingdoms, administered justice, and gained what was promised, who shut the mouths of lions. He's just recapping the Old Testament. He's given us all of it. The whole Old Testament is a testimony to being able to trust God. Now, I know you've probably heard about folks that have started these little groups, little almost cult-like groups among Christianity, like the ones who only believe the red letters of the Bible. You heard of one of those? There's that kind. Then there's the group, I think they come out of Lubbock, Texas, that follow the teachings of the Naked Bible. And that's basically New Testament teachings about Jesus and by Jesus. And you have all these little groups that have chosen and picked and choose what they would believe out of the Scripture. But I want to tell you, this writer of Hebrews is saying the whole Old Testament is about Jesus. The whole Old Testament is pointing us in faith by showing us the people of God, learning to trust God and become faithful people and walk with Him when what is in front of them may or not be seeable. But just trust in Him. So as he lists off all these, verse 34, quenched the fury of the flames and escaped the edge of the sword, whose weakness was turned to strength, who became powerful in battle and routed foreign armies. Women received back their dead, raised to life again. There were others who were tortured, refusing to be released so that they might gain an even better resurrection. Some faced jeers and flogging and even chains and imprisonment, and they were put to death by stoning, and they were sawed in two, and they were killed with a sword, and they went about in sheepskins and goatskins and destitute and persecuted and mistreated. The world was not worthy of them. That's what Scripture says. about all these people that lived in great faith. This earthly world was not worthy of them. Do you want to be the kind of person that when you pass away and you're laid out here on this stage and we're talking about your life, you want someone to walk up and stand on this stage and say they had so much faith, this world was not worthy of them. What a goal. What a goal. To be the kind of person that trusts God that you have been separated from the world by the way you are seen. The world was not worthy of them. They wandered in deserts and mountains, and they lived in caves and in holes in the ground. These were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised. And since God had planned something better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Now, we've read this hall of faith, and we've looked at this hall of faith. We've talked about it. We've compared it to some things that we've experienced. We've talked about the context in which this passage is being taught, but I forgot to mention this context. Really, I saved it for last. These folks are being taught that Jesus is greater. This whole book, Jesus is greater. He's greater than prophets. Jesus is greater than the ancients. Jesus is greater than the priests. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than all of these things. But this old covenant was important. This thing of the past, this God working His way, His will out in the lives of His people up to the time of Jesus is important, but the new covenant that we live in, that we live under, is greater. Greater than. So you are blessed to be able to live in the time that you can know God through the person of Jesus, through the work of the Holy Spirit, and that is greater. That's greater than what we're reading here in this text. A life led by the Holy Spirit, changed and redeemed and reconciled by the death and burial and resurrection of Jesus. It's greater. We should be people that lived as if we live greater. Greater. What we have is bigger. So this Hebrews 11 group, they're not just examples. They're like cheerleaders in the clouds. They're yelling and screaming, and it's all figurative, by the way. They're cheering you on. They're cheering you on to live greater. To live greater, to trust Him greater, to have faith that changes the world. So we can run the race of life with endurance. Now, this first few verses of chapter 12, we're going to get to in 2 weeks. We're going to get there in a couple of weeks. But we're going to fix our eyes on Jesus. Fix our eyes on Jesus when we run the difficult race. Fix our eyes on Jesus when we get sick. Fix our eyes on Jesus when people come against us. Fix our eyes on Jesus when we face anything that is difficult. Because that is the only way we can live. The only way is to fix our eyes on Jesus and to persevere. If you've gotten your eyes off of Jesus lately, and you've been looking at other things, you've probably been discouraged. If you're not discouraged, you might be disgruntled. If you're not disgruntled, you might be depressed. I saw a meme this week that really spoke well to me. Talked about a lady who was feeling depressed all the time, could not get over the depression, didn't understand why, but she listened to 12 hours a day of true crime podcasts. You listen to that stuff or watch a bunch of that stuff or hear a bunch of that stuff, or whatever you're caught up in, if you're caught up in gossip, if you're caught up in worry, if you're caught up in sensuality, whatever it might be, that has got hold of your life, that has derailed you in life, you're not going to be right with God. You're not going to be right in your spirit. So we need to set that stuff behind us, fix our eyes on Jesus, because He's the author and finisher of our faith. He's the founder of everything that we believe. I want to take a minute, if we just bow your heads with me, and we'll pray. And maybe the Lord has spoke to you out of these examples. Maybe you've been weak and you've been struggling. You've had difficult times. And as we pray, God, help us to set aside the things that have got us entangled. Set aside the things that have got our mind and eyes off of You. And Father, help us to keep focused and fix our eyes on You. Help us to trust You. Father, as Mark mentioned early on about the billboard faith, help us not to walk away from Hebrews 11 forgetting who we've seen. We've seen great people. Great people. The world was not worthy of them. Help us to be encouraged by those lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
The preceding message was presented by First Baptist Church in Manny, Louisiana. For more information about a relationship with Jesus Christ or about the church, including contact information, go to the website www.fbcmany.org. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.